Let her speak.
Let her speak. Let her speak.
What is she doing out there?
I'll cut off her mic.
No. Let her speak.
Let Her Speak is a show that works its way through the alphabet from A to Z. We talk about music and culture and things we're obsessed with. We flirt with controversy and politics, always framed by a single letter. On this show, we're flirting with the letter B. The letter B was part of the Phoenician alphabet more than 3,000 years ago in 1000 BCE. At that time, the letter was called Beth and looked a little different, but it made the sound of B and was second in the alphabet. The shape of the letter resembled the floor plan of a house, and the word Beth meant house. In the current day, the letter might recall Bieber, Booty, Beyonce, or Beetlejuice. Thanks for joining us on Letter Speak. Hi, Tina.
Hey, how are you?
We are on the second episode.
I am so stoked. I've been excited all day long.
Yeah, I'm kind of, I was nervous for the first episode. I'm less nervous this time, but I've had a lot of coffee, so...
Yeah, I was going to say I wasn't nervous today, but then I listened to last week's show, and now I'm nervous again.
It's anxious, right?
Yeah.
So I think the biggest challenge of preparing for this week was narrowing down what we were going to talk about for the letter B.
Absolutely. There were far too many, especially music artists that we could have picked for this show.
Yeah. And I actually think we could probably do... an entire episode on just one or two of these topics, so it should be interesting to narrow it down.
I agree.
I was surprised when I said, like, I was suggesting all these topics we could do, and you said, let's talk about Harry Belafonte.
Yeah.
That surprised me.
Really?
Yeah, because I mean, it's odd because it had led me, other roads had led me to Harry Belafonte, but I wasn't expecting you to say that.
No, that's interesting. I am a huge Harry Belafonte fan for various reasons.
Okay.
He has a fantastic music career, which as we'll talk about. Mm-hmm. He was a huge humanitarian worker and was very involved in the civil rights movement in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I think the reason I really like Harry Belafonte is because I saw him in a movie as a kid.
Okay, tell me what movie you saw him in.
It was called Odds Against Tomorrow.
Okay.
From 1959.
Oh, okay. I don't know that one. Because I felt like I knew who he was, but then when I was reading about him, researching the show, I realized I had no idea how I even knew who he was. So I thought maybe there'd be a movie from my childhood that I would know him for.
No, and this is like a film noir.
Weird.
Yeah.
And it's a long career.
Yeah, he's still around. He's retired since about 2007.
Okay.
Just because, you know, he's getting up there. But this film I saw him in, I think I was a teenager. It was the first film noir with a black protagonist.
Okay.
Yeah. Whoa. And it's essentially a heist, like a heist movie, but it's all gone wrong. Spoiler alert. It's from 1959, if you haven't seen it by now. But it is quite good. I do recommend it.
He was like a multi-hyphenate. Like, he was like a musician and an actor and an activist and a good-looking, popular celebrity.
Yeah, absolutely. His contemporaries were Sidney Poitier,
mm-hmm.
and Paul Robeson was actually his mentor. He was also very involved in politics and was a communist, or had great sympathies for communism, the ideals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think how people best know him is from his Calypso music, though.
Yes. So do you think we should play a popular Belafonte song and then come back?
Absolutely.
Okay. So this is actually the first song I picked for this week for other reasons, which we'll come to later in the show. But this is a classic, Harry Belafonte, Deo.
Deo! Daylight come and me wan go home. Work all night and I drink a rum.
Daylight come and me wan go home.
Stack banana till the morning come.
Daylight come and me wan go home.
Come
Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Live
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch.
Daylight come and me want go home.
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Day is a day, oh.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Day is a day. Is a day, is a
day, is a day.
A beautiful bunch, a ripe banana.
Daylight come and we want go home.
Hide the deadly black tarantula.
Daylight come and we want go home.
Live
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch.
Daylight come and we want go home.
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Day is a day, oh.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Day is a day, is a day, is a day.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and
come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Day-o, day-o.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Day, bizette, 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 bizette.
Daylight come and me want go.
This is Letter Speak on Van Cleek FM. That was Deo by Harry Belafonte. We're doing the letter B this week.
Fun fact about that song.
Yeah.
So the first time he ever performed it on TV was on The Muppet Show.
No.
Yeah.
I love The Muppet Show.
Isn't that amazing?
I don't want to go too far into the letter M, but The Muppet Show was brilliant and amazing, and any of those reruns are worth watching.
Yeah, absolutely. This one, I looked it up on the internet.
Yeah.
And it's really cute. He's basically going through the song, and then they keep stopping the song, and he's explaining like what things mean.
Oh.
Yeah, like Mr. the Banana Man, or it's not the Banana Man, the tally man of the bananas. Is,
yeah.
You know, the person you would bring your bananas to who would count all the bananas, and that's how you knew how much you were going to get paid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it's kind of about banana pickers.
The first time I learned that song because we sang it in choir in public school, in primary choir. So it was I was somewhere between the ages of 6 and 8 when I learned to sing. And I have a deep voice. I don't know if you can tell from listening to me on the
radio. I can't at all.
Even as a child, I sang like an alto part in that song. As a little tiny girl, I sang the alto part for the choir. But
that's adorable.
Yeah, that's why I had to do the like, daylight come and we want to go home.
That's perfect. Were you like sitting, or did they put you beside the other, you know, the other kids, but they were boys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
That's really cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another fun fact about this song, as he sang it on The Muppet Show, Jim Henson and Harry Belafonte were concerned with, you know, any kind of appropriation, because there are some African masks in that further on in that episode. So they did a lot of research to make sure any patterns used or any of the African masks being used, you know, wouldn't offend anybody.
That's in for the era. That seems like a very aware thing to do.
Yeah.
I feel like that,
1979,
that awareness of the '70s disappeared somewhere between 1982 and 2002. I think it disappeared for 20 years between the 80s and the early 2000s, and that awareness seems to be kind of coming back around to people paying attention to.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Something happened in the 80s where people kind of stopped giving a shit about stuff like that.
Yeah. For sure. Whatever.
Yeah.
We'll just steal this thing from this thing and no one will care.
Yeah, maybe it was because people were like, oh, we have, you know, we're going to try to have a melting pot, right? Where it's nobody can be offended by anything.
Yeah, that didn't work very well.
No, this doesn't work.
No, that didn't work. So I think as a transition, we should hear the word of the week.
Okay.
here it goes. As you'll recall, word of the week is from my husband, Eddie Earwig, host of Revision Radio.
Welcome back to another edition of Eddie's Word of the Day that got changed to Word of the Week, so whatever. The Word of the Week is Beetlejuice, most commonly known as the Tim Burton comedy horror classic from 1988, starring Alec Baldwin, Gina Davis, and Catherine O'Hara, with Winona Ryder and Michael Keaton as Beetlejuice. But the name actually comes from the ninth brightest star in the night sky. It's a red star. And the name for that star comes from the Arabic name Yadeljusa, meaning the hand of Orion. I don't know if I said that right. And the last fact about Beetlejuice is that it's a well-known mystery or phenomenon that the name should not be said three times in a row. So if you talk about Beetlejuice, don't say it three times in a row.
Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. So there.
Disaster.
That's the transition because it, so Ed submits the word of the week. He doesn't tell me what he's going to submit. And so I had a little listen to that in advance of the show. And I thought, oh, that's amazing. Cause I wanted to talk about Beetlejuice. It was one of the first things I thought of. And the song that I thought of was Deo by Harry Belafonte.
Yeah. Perfect. I think that's probably the movie that I even first heard that song in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I listened to that song and I think of creepy hands, gripping faces and crazy dancing of these rich white people around this insanely decorated house.
And it was because they were being, you know, possessed by the devil, essentially, or possessed by ghosts yeah. in that movie,
yeah.
That they were doing that. So there's rumors that Tim Burton is making Beetlejuice 2. And I had heard about this and I assumed Michael Keaton would come back. And if you look at IMDb, it says that Michael Keaton and Winona Ryder are signed on and it's greenlit. But then there's all these crazy rumors floating around that he's going to play, have Johnny Depp play Beetlejuice instead of Michael Keaton due to scheduling conflicts. And I want to talk about how disappointed this makes me.
That's just how my heart feels now.
I know, right? Do you remember a time when Johnny Depp was like the best ever and no matter what he was going to be in, it was going to be the best and you loved it. You loved Edward Scissorhands.
Yep.
And now all the Johnny Depp movies are terrible.
Maybe it's because he was in so many Tim Burton films.
I think so. I know. There was a time when Tim Burton and Johnny Depp equaled magic and yeah. now it just equals, ugh, an annoying movie that I don't want to watch.
Yeah. It's like, this has been overproduced.
Yeah. So,
and overacted.
Basically, all I just wanted to say is that hopefully that's a false rumor, even though it's published across the internet far and wide, and Michael Keaton actually will return because I don't even think I'll go see it if Johnny Depp is in it.
Yeah, unless it got really good reviews, and then, I mean, you know, we could eat crow and go see it. But
yeah, I loved the original movie. It's one of the few movies. I'm not a person that watches movies multiple times. People say, oh, you remember this scene in this movie? And I'm like, no, because I saw it once like 15 years ago and I haven't watched it again. There's a few exceptions to that. And Beetlejuice is one of them.
Yeah.
If it's on TV, I'll just watch it from wherever it's on to the end.
Yeah. I have a few movies like that. And this is definitely one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always thought it would be an amazing Halloween costume to go as the dead couple when they try to make those really freaky, pointy face masks.
Yeah, I guess you could make a big, giant paper mache version of that.
Oh,
or something.
It looks so good. With Gina Davis and Baldwin, one of them.
Alec? It's a young Alec. And when I picture his face, I think it must be a different Baldwin. But no, I'm sure it's Alec Baldwin. He just looks very different.
Yeah, no, he just thickened up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Became a mature gentleman.
Yep.
I think we should play another song to move us into the next segment. Do you feel like you've wrapped up what you wanted to say about Harry Belafonte?
I think so.
And Beetlejuice?
I think I've told you about why I love him.
Yeah.
And Beetlejuice.
I guess the one thing before we move on, I feel like I didn't know he was the king of Calypso. And I didn't know how big Calypso was in the 50s.
Yeah, it was huge.
I feel like if there's anything, like, I need to go deeper into that whole genre and learn about it.
In this film, Odds Against Tomorrow, mm-hmm. he plays a musician. And at the beginning of the film, it's basically him, like, jamming on xylophones. And it's
crazy and amazing.
Amazing. Yeah. Like, he's so talented.
Yeah. It was his album, Calypso, that had that song on it, is the first million-selling album by a single artist.
That's crazy. And that's, you know, that's when people literally had to go to the store and buy an album.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was the first one that sold a million.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So it was a big hit. And I guess, I think songs like that, that are big hits that stick in your mind forever, just will keep coming back. I'm sure that that song will be a hit again before, you know, my 100 years are up.
Yeah. Like Wes Anderson's going to use it in a movie.
Yeah. I can actually imagine it in a Wes Anderson movie. Actually, like, I feel like it's a perfect choice for that. So, I have another song here that I'm going to play, and that'll take us into our next segment.
Awesome.
It's by Beyonce.
Love her.
Who I think we're prepared to discuss at length.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So this is, Beyonce's most recent release, Formation.
Haters corny with that Illuminati mess. Paparazzi catch my fly and my cocky fresh. I'm so reckless when I rock my Givenchy dress. I'm so possessive, so I rock his rock necklaces. My daddy Alabama, mama Louisiana. You mix that Negro with that Creole, make a Texas Bama.
I like my baby hair with baby hair and afro. I like my Negro nose with Jackson 5.
I got hot sauce in my bag, swag.
I see it, I want it, want it. I stunt yellow, want it, want it. I dream it, I work hard, I grind till I own it, own it. I twirl on the middle, albino alligator, Camino with the Cielo, sipping Cuervo and Ortega. Sometimes I go off,
I go off,
I go hard,
I go hard.
Get what's mine,
hey, what's mine?
I'm a star,
I'm a star.
Cause I slay, I slay. You get eliminated. When he fuck me good, I take his ass to real life. When he fuck me good, I take his ass to real life. If he hit it right, I might take him on a flight on my chopper. Drop him off at the mall, let him buy some J's, let him shop up.
I might get your song played on the radio station.
Cause I
might get your song played on the radio station.
Cause I slay.
You just might be a black Bill Gates in the making.
Cause
I just might be a black Bill Gates in the making.
I see it, I want it,
want it.
Start yellow,
want it.
I dream it, I work hard, I grind till I own it. I twirl on my haters, albino alligators, Camino.
Take what's mine,
take what's mine.
I'm a star,
I'm a star.
Cause I slay, 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 I slay. We gon' slay, gon' slay, we slay. I slay, I slay, okay, I slay, okay, 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 ladies, now let's get information.
I slay,
okay, ladies, now let's get information.
Okay, ladies, now let's get information.
I slay.
Okay, ladies, now let's get information. You know you that bitch when you cause all this conversation. Always stay gracious. Best revenge is your paper.
You're listening to Let Her Speak on Van Cleek FM. That was Beyonce with Formation.
Jackie.
Yes.
Question.
Yes.
Hot sauce in your purse. Good idea?
Yes. As long as
fantastic
it's securely
idea.
Securely sealed.
Oh, yeah. Do you think she's talking packets or bottles?
I think she's the kind of girl that's got a little bottle in there. Maybe, you know what? You know when you go on the airplane or to fancy hotels and you get that little eeny tiny Tabasco?
Yeah.
That's the perfect size to stick in your purse.
Totally. Do you think she has her own hot sauce? Like fancy hot sauce?
Yeah, maybe. Like maybe
Beyonce,
she's got like
made
some
for Beyonce,
like southern, sauce. Like southern gourmet chef.
Yeah.
Who makes her a custom hot sauce?
Ooh, or it's just something that she's loved since she's been like a little kid.
Yeah.
And she's like, this is always in my purse.
Yeah.
Great idea, though.
I think there's like a couple of meanings there. I actually think literally that she probably is the kind of person that keeps hot sauce in her bag.
Oh, yeah.
But also, I think what she's saying is she can like sprinkle the heat on anything at any time because she comes prepared.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
I feel like that's kind of layers. Like if I was going to interpret the meaning of hot sauce in my bag swag, that's how I would interpret it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I agree with
that. So that's Formation. This is the most recent Beyonce song. It's from her forthcoming album. I don't even, do we even know the name of her forthcoming? I've been thinking
it's not
so
Lemonade.
Much. No. So
oh my God.
We were talking earlier this week. We were, okay. So when we were playing the show, we were like, we got to talk about Beyonce. There's the Beatles. There's David Bowie. There's Bob Dylan. There's friggin' Bob Marley. There's so many B artists, but I really wanted to talk about Beyonce.
Yeah.
First and foremost. Because there's so, she's just like puts on these marketing masterclasses. Like she can't just release an album. It always has to be some ridiculous, amazing thing. So this song was released the day before the Super Bowl. You knew she, you'd heard, if you're following Beyonce, you'd heard she was performing on the Super Bowl. And then the day before she releases this song with this crazy, amazing video. I watched it like 3 times in a row because I just have to take in all of the eye candy. And then she performs at the Super Bowl. And if you look at the metrics on like the internet, she basically destroys the Super Bowl for mentions. Like everyone was talking about Beyonce. No one was talking about football or Coldplay, who were the actual performers.
They were the headlining performer.
Yeah.
And she did one song and then they kind of did a group song at the end. But it was a bunch of Coldplay stuff.
No one cared about
Nobody
Coldplay.
Cares about some English guys.
No, everyone cared about Beyonce. So then this song came out. So then people were saying, okay, she's got an album coming out. What's the next piece? And so it was announced this week that the next piece is going to premiere on HBO because, you know, having a video on the internet's not good enough for Beyonce. Whatever it is, we don't know if it's a movie, if it's a series of videos, if it's just a video. Something called Lemonade is coming out this weekend. And this is the testimony to how much I care about what Beyonce does. I'm going to Mexico next week. And I'm going to be away on Saturday night. I'll be in Mexico, which is amazing. And I like, obviously I'm excited. But when I read, oh, this video is getting released on HBO on Saturday night, there was a moment in my mind where I thought, oh man, I'm going to be in Mexico. I'm going to miss the excitement.
Hashtag first world problems, Jackie.
Yeah, I know, right? It's almost like, I felt like that was, as soon as I thought had the thought, I was like, that is the most ridiculous thought that has ever run through my brain.
Yeah, like it's going to be on the internet.
Forever.
Yeah.
It's just that it feels like everything she does generates so much conversation.
Yeah,
that if
you'll
I,
miss that first bit.
I'll miss that like Twitter, like excitement of all the people, like the think pieces about the meaning and the feminist implications and the lyrics and then the conversations about her outfits and then, you know.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Well, apparently there is a little bit more information about this special. It's going to be a 1-hour event.
Oh, okay.
Docu-style special similar to her 2013 HBO special.
Beyonce, the only person that can make a documentary where she writes, directs, produces, and stars in it. It's not really a documentary about yourself if you make it about yourself.
It's
but
a documentary style.
Style. Yeah. Where she like, it's like she interviews herself. Like she writes the questions and then she answers them and then directs what the, she looks like on camera. Like I just, her control over her image and her whole thing.
I'm just like, yeah, that's normal for her.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's actually interesting for the Super Bowl. So post Super Bowl, there's a bit of, I don't know, silly controversy because some conservatives in the U.S. were mad at her because she had dancers that were dressed in kind of like homage to Black Panthers.
Yeah.
And she was wearing kind of an homage to Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
So there was actually a anti-Beyonce boycott.
B for boycott.
Yeah, B for boycott. That was supposed to happen, I guess, like the week after, at the NHL headquarters in New York City.
Okay.
Nobody showed up.
That's because everyone loves Beyonce.
Yes, exactly.
What are you going to boycott Beyonce? Like, boycott an artist for talking about a topical topic?
Hashtag like, boycott Beyonce.
That's just terrible.
Ridiculous.
I feel like anyone who participates in that doesn't actually even, they just want to participate in a conversation. They actually have no problem, real problem with the artist of Beyonce, right? What she's actually
doing. Yeah, or they're
doing.
Just racist.
Or, yeah, well, I think that's probably part of it.
Yeah.
She's built a fascinating career. I mean, I I came to Beyonce late. I won't say I've been like a lifelong Beyonce fan or anything. I didn't really care about Destiny's Child.
Yeah, same.
I started caring about Destiny's Child, and this is a horrible fact, but there was a magazine that was like in my bathroom in the early 2000s. It was like Spin or one of those music mags, because one of my roommates had a subscription. And there was an article with Elvis Costello saying his top 10 favorite albums of that year. And he listed Destiny's Child, and his only comment on the album was, when you listen to it, you want to be in an R&B girl group. And I don't know, I just took, for whatever reason, I was like, I should listen, obviously, to Destiny's Child because Elvis Costello is saying I should, which is probably the wrong reasons. But I then purchased a Destiny's Child album used, and I listened to it, and I was like, the crazy thing about this is a concept album. Why is an R&B girl group doing a concept, like a deep concept album with, like, you know, speeches in between songs?
Oh, wow. Which one, like, was it?
I don't even know. It's the one with Say My Name on it.
Oh, okay.
But the whole album threads, like, from the first intro to the last song, it's like a story arc. Okay. So each song fits into the concept. You know
what? I do remember this just from the videos that were coming out. Because I have to admit, I've never owned a Destiny's Child album.
No.
But I remember that kind of arc.
Yeah.
And when they kicked those other girls out of the band.
So Beyonce was the star from the beginning.
Oh, yeah. Hello.
And I can't even really say I've been a huge Beyonce fan of her solo career. I mean, I like the singles. There's some songs that are like dancing too. But her last little phase where she's been really doing some interesting things, like her last album, she released all the songs and a video for every single song all at once on one day, which is a really weird thing to do. No one's ever done before. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting, and now I'm fascinated, and she's declaring herself a feminist, and I want to know what's going on with this artist. So I just think she's been taking her career in an interesting direction.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, she could very well rest on her laurels if she wanted to, but she's not, and she's taking her career in, you know, many new and interesting directions where, you know, she doesn't have to say that she's a feminist, but it's amazing that she is.
Yeah.
Because that, you know, that opens a whole other box of conversation for people who disagree with her.
Yes. And I think that that's what's, you know, not a lot of pop artists bother with any political or social message, really.
Yeah.
And I don't think she has to. She could just make pop songs and be rich and fabulous and beautiful, and that would be it. But she's trying to do something different, which is why I find her interesting.
Yeah, exactly. And the fact that she just does so much is crazy to me. I forget where I heard this, but someone, I think it was, maybe it was on TV or something, but it was, you know, Beyonce has the same amount of hours in the day as you do. But look at what she does with them.
I'm pretty sure she has a number of assistants. I like to tell myself
she that doesn't have to clean her house. Yeah. She's got some people to do that for her.
Yeah. Yeah. She does have the same amount of hours in the day as me. But, you know, I have a radio show, so I'm achieving things.
Boom.
Yeah, exactly.
B-word. Boom.
Boom. Do you think we've wrapped up Beyonce? There's so much we could say.
There's a lot. Have you looked at her new athleisure line, Ivy Park?
I can't even talk about this.
I know.
Okay, Ivy Park. I don't have interest in sports clothing, particularly. No. Really my steez.
Wear the clothing when you're doing the sport. That's my motto.
Yeah, but then I read an article about it where she talks about why her sports clothing is different, and I am convinced, and now I want. She talks about how, like, okay, so we all wear leggings.
Yes.
Ladies wear leggings, and she talks about how when you work out in leggings, like, the fabric is really thin and you kind of like feel uncomfortable because it's like maybe you're showing off too much or you're like jiggling too much. So like her leggings will have an extra layer underneath that's just for firmness and control, and then the legging part over top. So it's like comfortable, plus it holds you in, like if you're jogging,
right?
You're not bouncing all over the place. And I was like, that is a thing that I need in my life.
Yeah.
Like, just for everyday wear.
Thank you, Beyonce.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think that also, well, this is probably another freaking tangent, but off that, but shapewear has really changed.
Yes.
Like, women used to wear a lot more foundation wear than we do now.
Yeah.
So having kind of, you know, that extra layer of fit under a legging would probably be very comfortable and be a lot more flattering than, you know, a thin, cheap
And I feel like legging. It's like Beyonce was like, probably went to a meeting. This is how I imagine it. Mm-hmm. This is how much I care about her. I would imagine how it went. She went to a meeting.
Is this a board meeting?
Yeah, it was a board meeting. Like, and someone came in, some designer that she's hired to work on this with her, brought in samples, and they were high-waisted leggings. And she was like, oh, this is really good. And then she put them on. She was like, I can't wear these because they're too thin, and I bend over and you can see everything. So fix it.
Yeah.
And then she went back to her fabulous life, and they figured out a way to fix it. And I was like, finally, someone in the boardroom wasn't like, how can we make this the cheapest possible garment and make the most amount of money? Someone said, can we make this actually a functional item of clothing that people would want to wear every day?
Yeah, for sure. And the whole, you know, athleisure is definitely a thing.
Yes, it is.
Yep. So, you know,
since having, yoga pants became a thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have mixed feelings about those, but
yeah,
dude, just wear them at yoga, man. Like, don't, you can't wear this to the office.
I don't know. I know. I was in leggings aren't pants believer for a long time, but then I just started wearing them.
You can wear a longer tunic or a skirt over it. Go nuts. Yeah. Just like, I don't want to see your crotch.
That's not a B word.
I don't want to see your
booty, your bum, your bum. Butt. Yeah, so she's got that line coming out, and it's an unusual partnership. It's with Topshop. I guess you can get it at Topshop, but it's actually available a bunch of other places. She's going to make $1 trillion from it, I'm sure.
Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah. And I guess there's been hints of that because there's some of it's worn in the formation. Some of the gals at the Super Bowl were wearing it. It wasn't even announced yet, and it was like hidden in the uniforms of the dancers.
Oh, interesting. I didn't even know that.
They were wearing Ivy Park, it's called.
Yeah.
Gear.
Huh. So, yeah. I know. And then she has this like really good looking bodysuit that she has, you know, when she's, I guess it's in some promo material for the line.
Yeah.
And she looks bodacious.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. So hopefully it's amazing. And I get a pair of the leggings. And I wear them and they change my life.
I feel
life.
Like that's what I'm hoping for. I could go on a whole tangent about other celebrity clothing lines.
Celebrity athleisure, huge right now.
Yeah, it
Who
is.
Who doesn't have a legging line?
Do you remember when, oh my God, what's her name? Lindsay Lohan. Do you remember when Lindsay Lohan, quote, designed, unquote, some leggings for some ridiculously expensive brand?
Yeah, I do remember that, actually.
They were bad.
Remember when she was a thing?
Yeah, I feel bad for her. We can talk to her in the L's.
In the L section?
Yeah.
So Beyonce started out in a girl group, and another B topic that we have is boy bands.
Were you a boy band fan?
Okay. This is the thing about boy bands. The boy bands that you're a fan of are directly related to the age that you are when they were popular.
Absolutely.
I know some people stay with boy bands from like the ages of like 7 until 14, but I really feel like the sweet spot is like 8 to 10 years old is when you're really a passionate, maybe 11, a passionate boy bander.
Mm-hmm. And then it's kind of seen as little goofy and little kid.
Yeah. Yeah. And you grow up and you get into, you know, you get into Bad Boys.
Yeah.
And
then you get the bad boy bands.
Yeah. And funny you should say that. That's a good segue. Yeah. And then so you kind of like, you mature. So I was a new kid. I was a blockhead.
Oh.
I was 9 years old in 1989. And 10 years old in 1990, which goes with my theory. I was a huge New Kids on the Block fan. And it was at the peak of their career when they had like, you know, Step by Step came out.
Okay.
That was 1990. And oh, my whole bedroom was plastered with New Kids on the Block posters. I saw them at March 14th. This is how important it was. I remember the date. It was March 14th, 1989. I saw them at Maple Leaf Gardens in Toronto.
Oh my God.
It was like a game changer for me. I was blown away by seeing a concert of that scale. I was so excited. My mom took me and my sister.
Aww.
And I actually saw them again at a casino a couple of years ago.
Did it hold up?
I had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But it was weird to see a lot of 35 to 40 year old women losing their minds in a concert setting like that. But I had a lot of fun. So, I mean, I wouldn't go a third or fourth time. Yeah. Like some people are obsessively following them around.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. I would. But on the topic, we should play another song. And
yeah.
When we come back, I'm going to do a list of the top 10 biggest boy bands of all time. And I chose this song. This is number 6 on the list, 112. And I felt like I didn't realize how big this group was because it wasn't from my era. They're on Bad Boy Records. This was from a Bad Boy, which is Puff Daddy's record
Diddy.
Label.
Yeah, Diddy.
Bad Boys, R&B hits. R&B's Bad Boys 112. with their hit Peaches and Cream.
Yeah, yeah. Like the way it's going down. Come on. For all my ladies.
That's that shit right there.
Bad boy, baby.
That's that shit.
I got their peaches and cream. Peaches and cream.
From the car to the bar, from the bar to the telly, from your neck to your bra to your belly.
Come on.
And she know where PD go, F the ego, catch me below. Her belt like a foul boxer, she a freak but she sweet so I can't knock her. I just push her legs back till she propped up, tongue hover singing high notes like an opera. And I don't waste a drop till I taste the spot. Give you chills but I make it hot. Watch, I'ma prove in time, I'ma make you lose your mind. Ain't a lingua smooth as mine, and I never question what hun do. When she meet me, she knock on door 112. From the 404 to 212. You got peaches and cream, my where's my scoop? Come on.
Let me tell you what I wanna do. Let me show you that I feel you. Wanna sex, wanna ride with you. Wanna taste when I put my lips all over you. Can't get enough of you. Always thinking of you. So sweet, so very wet. So good, girl, you make me sweat. Girl, I'm talking about
peaches and cream.
Oh,
I get it cause you know that I'm a fiend.
That's right.
Getting freaky on my belly, I'm a dream. It's even better when it's with ice cream.
Know what I mean? Peaches and cream.
I need it cause you know that I'm a fiend. Getting freaky on my belly.
Girl, you taste so good to me.
Ice cream.
Oh, oh, I never thought that I would be so addicted to you. On top, underneath, on the side of you. Better yet, baby, inside of you. Let the way you're just flowing down. And I can feel it all around. In the front, in the back of you. Ooh, I love the taste of you. Girl, you know what I'm talking about.
I need it cause you know that I'm a fiend. Getting
freaky
on my belly,
I'm
a dream. It's even better when it's with ice cream.
Know what I mean? Peaches and cream.
I need it cause you know that I'm a fiend. Getting freaky on my belly, limousine. It's even better when it's with ice cream.
Know what I mean?
Peaches and cream. You know I can't get enough. Wanna taste it in the morning when I'm waking up. Like peach cobbler in my stomach when I eat it up. Got your legs around my neck so I can't get up. See the boys 112, we from the A. Comes to eating peaches, shawty, we don't play. So all the ladies in the house, if you're pieced to shit, put your hands in the air and represent
your
clear.
Peaches and cream.
I need it cause you know that I'm a fiend.
That's right. Girl, you are so tasty. Tasty. Oh, girl, you taste so good to me. Oh, I need it cause you know that I'm a fiend. Getting freaky in my belly limousine. Know what I mean? Peaches and cream. I need it cause you know that I'm a fiend.
We're back on Let Her Speak. It was a boy band, 112.
I remember this song from high school dances, and yep. I forgot how dirty it is, but I love it.
I know. They're definitely a boy band, bad boy band.
Yes.
Yeah. So the list that I have here is the 10 biggest boy bands from Billboard album, B for Billboard. This is their top ones. 1987 to 2012, they call the boy band era.
What was their like criteria for...
I was like chart,
biggest
like okay. chart hits and okay. record sales and all that stuff.
Got it.
So number 10, New Edition. Their big song was Hit Me Off. They were formed in 1978, and they were the big breakout star of New Edition was Bobby Brown. B for Bobby Brown. That's number 10. Number 9, Hanson. Their hit song was Mbop. You remember them?
Sure do. That song got in my head 2 days ago.
They recently came out with a craft beer called Mhops.
Yeah. Have you seen them recently in photos?
Yeah, I have.
They look the same.
They
but older.
Yeah, they're like creepier. Handsome versions of their childhood selves.
Yeah, like they look pretty good. Not gonna lie.
And they've had a lot of children. I don't know, are they like
I think they're one of those religious things.
Yeah, the, what are they called? Quiverful, where you have to have as many children as you can.
Well, I don't know if they're that bad.
They're not that bad.
But yeah, I don't know. Could be. I don't really know. I don't know them personally.
Yeah.
But
their big hit was from 1997. Yeah. Then number eight, the Jonas Brothers, Burning Up was their big hit. They are definitely a different generation than me. They got famous from appearing on the Hannah Montana show in 2007.
I have never listened to any Jonas Bros song.
There's some, like, they got famous in 2007 and one of the brothers is already retired.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was in their university
and doing other stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number seven, 98 Degrees.
Oh, yeah.
Remember their song, I Do Cherish You?
Nick Lachey.
They're going to be rich forever because they were smart enough to have a hit song that's used as a wedding song. That song, I Do Cherish You, is a song for weddings.
Yes.
They were signed to Motown in 1997. Took them a while to get famous. Nick Lachey went on to be famous for being married to Jessica Simpson and having a reality show.
Yeah. She actually, her jeans, if you find them at Winners, they fit very well.
They are great, and I own a pair.
Yeah. They fit, not even surprisingly, they just fit well.
Yeah.
They're good pants.
She wasn't a very successful singer. No. He was definitely a more successful singer than she was, but she has gone on to sign really smart licensing deals with her name and has made a lot of money.
Yeah. No, she's had a great team, or she herself has been very smart about her.
Who knows how that dealings. All happened, but she's got great stuff. And sometimes I'm like annoyed. I don't want to buy this thing because it says Jessica Simpson on it, but it fits me amazing and the quality's great.
It's just
and it's
jeans.
Cheap.
Whatever.
So I guess I'm going to have Jessica Simpson on my butt. 112, who we just heard, Peaches and Cream. That song was from 2001. You remember that song from high school.
Oh, yeah. High school dance, baby.
Yeah. Then number five, the most annoying song possibly of all time, All for One.
Oh, God, I hate that song.
I Swear.
Yeah, it's bad.
I always thought when I was doing this list, I thought, oh, yeah, that was a country hit song, too. It was actually a country hit song first, and then All for One covered it and made it into, like, a bad R&B pop song.
Oh, no way.
And it was a number one hit again.
They were just wannabe boys to men.
Oh, the worst. Number four, NSYNC, It's Gonna Be Me was their biggest hit song. And
really?
Possibly their most famous expat is Justin Timberlake. He's gone on to be a megastar.
It's Gonna Be Me?
It's Gonna Be Me.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also not my era. I was too old for NSYNC.
Mm. It was a thing when I was, like, you know, in the right age bracket, I think.
Yeah.
But I was never a NSYNC fan until, you know, if I hear it at the bar now, I'm like, yeah, 90s.
Yeah. New Kids on the Block, number three, Step by Step was their biggest hit. It was funny because I was kind of looking for a New Kids song. And as I said, I'm, you know, a New Kids fan as a child, and I've seen them twice in concert, but I still couldn't find a song I wanted to play really on the radio. Like, I have no real interest in their music anymore.
Okay. So you were just kind of,
I mean, at the time I listened to the albums, like I could pick a song, you know, Write Stuff or Please Don't Go Girl or another one of their classic hits. But I was like, I still don't really want to hear it now. I just like, I want to remember that was a thing I used to like and never listen to it ever again.
Right. Yeah, I get that.
And they have some newer songs that I don't mind. Like they're a couple of their most recent albums, like, cause they came back in 2008 with a couple of albums, and there's like the odd track off there I don't mind, but I also didn't want to shame myself by
2008.
Admitting.
Do they wear hats to disguise their baldness?
Yeah, they do. They wear hats. They wear a lot of black.
Yeah.
I mean, they're good performers. Like, I mean, boy bands are like, they're not untalented, you know?
Oh, no.
When I saw them, I think I saw them in 2009 or something, and like, they can all dance, they can all sing, like, they're a bunch of theater nerds, you know?
Yeah.
And they can do it. It's just, it's a kind of cheesy.
Yeah, they just happen to do it in a way where they were kind of practicing their talent, but they just did it as a boy band instead of going into musical theater.
Yeah. And it's really hard to transition out of a boy band into another career. There's, I mean, very few examples in this list. And I mean, even Justin Timberlake, I feel like is still kind of like looked at as cheesy, even though he's a huge star outside of NSYNC now.
Like
people are like respect his like acting career or anything. They're still like, oh, he's just a pop singer.
Yeah.
You know, number two, Backstreet Boys, Quit Playing Games With My Heart.
Nice.
Huge hit.
Yeah.
They've joined up with New Kids on the Block. They were doing this like NKOTB BSB tour thing together, which I refuse to go to because I don't like the Backstreet Boys and I don't have to endure them to see New Kids on the Block.
But that's really smart of them.
It is smart.
Because it's like kind of like first gen, next gen.
Yeah.
They can get, you know,
mothers and daughters even.
Probably 25 to like.
No, not mothers and daughters, but like sisters.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, you know what was crazy when I saw New Kids on the Block? I saw them in a casino, and after my sister and I went and sat in the lobby at the martini bar and drank some martinis, and there was so many women waiting for them in the lobby of the hotel, which we weren't in the lobby, but we could see the lobby from where we were seated.
Oh, okay.
And there were just women hovering around there, like waiting to meet them. So creepy.
It doesn't end. Wow. Yeah. That's crazy.
You're like a 40-year-old mom of two and you're trying to meet the new kids on the block. But anyways. Number one, Boyz II Men. B for Boyz II Men. Huge, huge group. There's no comparison as far as boy bands go. And I feel like some purists might even say Boyz II Men aren't really a boy band. Like they're more like a Motown, like a soul group, but they get lumped in because there's, you know, four or five of them or whatever, and they sing songs. Huge hits. One Sweet Day featuring Mariah Carey, End of the Road, I'll Make Love to You. Like huge, huge hit songs. They have outsold everyone on this list like 10 times over.
Wow.
Yeah.
I knew they were huge, but I didn't know they were that huge. That they kind of beat out Backstreet Boys, New Kids, NSYNC, all those other bands.
By like,
it's amazing.
Miles. My friend went to see Boyz II Men in concert in the last couple of years.
Did her panties melt off?
They were playing in Buffalo, New York, B for Buffalo. And she got there like 10 minutes after the start. It was supposed to start at 8 o'clock and she was driving from Toronto. So they got there a bit late. She got into the venue. It was about 8:10. They had already started. They were 10 minutes into their set. They started like right on 8 o'clock on the nose.
God.
They performed until 8:45.
Yeah.
And then they walked off stage without an encore and that was it. It was over.
That's really sad.
And she was so disappointed. I was like, I feel like they were into this point in their career. They're like, this is our 45-minute set. Give us our money. We're out of here. We're back to our lives.
Oh, man. Yeah. They're like, oh, I got to take the 9:45 to wherever I live now. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
To catch my plane, my red eye home.
Got to get my plane.
Yeah. So.
Wow. That's disappointing.
They do have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. They are huge stars. I can't name any of them by name, but I can picture them. So yep. And they didn't have any breakout stars, crossover.
No.
Nothing.
Like they had that dude that wore the square glasses. And then they had, you know, they would wear those like really great suits.
Yeah. I'm going to play another song before we go on to the next segment. The next segment, we're going to talk about Butts and Bob's Burgers. And I picked this song to go along with that theme. Can you guess what the song is?
I can.
You can?
Yeah.
Because I have it here on the notes. Right?
Sure can. I'm cheating.
You're cheating.
Michael Diamond?
No, mine's Clarence.
From downtown
Manhattan.
From Village.
my style wild, and you know that it's stealing.
This snow bag's up and then you're doing the buzz.
Shake your rope.
We're back on Letter Speak, talking about the letter B. I made a little mistake on that.
That's okay.
Technical difficulties.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm new. This is a new thing.
Early days.
Early days. That's... I know. I'll get the habit of it eventually. Bob's Burgers. Have you watched the entirety of Bob's Burgers?
Yes. And I have to shout out to Jenna Bamforth.
Yes.
Because she B for Bamforth. She basically would just... make you wait. Just be like, oh, it's so funny. And, you know, she would just tell me it was hilarious.
Hilarious.
And her boyfriend, Brian, on a roll here. They both were totally into this show. And she would tell me that it was so funny. Yeah. So I finally watched it and I was like, I'll give this a whirl because I'm not super into adult cartoon shows.
Mm, yeah.
But
it's so clever.
So clever. So funny.
If you haven't watched it, listeners at home, it's a show about a family. Bob is obviously the patriarch. They own a burger restaurant called Bob's Burgers. You would think the show is about Bob because of the name, but I feel like the show isn't really about him. It's about the other members of his family, and particularly his children.
Yes. And they have a really interesting relationship with each other.
Yes.
The Peanuts thing where the parents do their own thing, the kids do their own thing, and the worlds sometimes collide.
Yeah, that's true. The kids have their own storylines totally independent of the parents. They go on their own adventures. You follow sort of both storylines. Tina Belcher has become an iconic character.
Bob
Belcher is the father, but Tina Belcher is his oldest child. She's his daughter. So interesting fact about the show is when they created the show, the character that Tina Belcher is was actually called Daniel, and there was a male comedian who was going to play Daniel in the pilot, and then they changed it to a female character and named her Tina Belcher, but they kept the same voice actor, so it's still a male voice actor doing the daughter.
Yeah, and if you even listen to an interview of him, he doesn't change his voice one whit for that character. It's just his voice.
Yeah. She's a hopeless romantic with a powerful sex drive and minimal social skills. So when you watch the first episode, you think they're going to kind of make fun of her for being like weird and awkward, but then it's almost like you love her because of her weird and awkwardness. And what I love about the character and what I think a lot of women are attracted to is, it's unusual to have a person who's a child portrayed as a sexual being. It's controversial. She's right on the line. You know, she's in puberty and she's going through like innocent stuff, like liking butts.
Yeah.
She wears a bra. She has
she puts it on one boob at a time.
Yeah. She's got great quotes about womanhood and exploring, you know, growing up into a woman. She has like nightmares still, like a child, about zombies, but then she writes like fantasy stories about zombies where they're making out and touching each other's butts. So she's got like this funny kind of like coming of age.
It's like sex is butts.
Yeah.
Like it hasn't progressed beyond like, that's a cute butt.
Yeah. She just likes a cute butt.
Yeah.
She great lines that they write for her. Oh, if so we funny. See any mermaids, I'm going to ask them where their merginas are. and if boys had uteruses, they'd be called deuteruses. She likes the phrase bumper to bumper from the traffic report. These are facts about Tina Belcher. It's a great character.
Yeah. Fantastic character.
We're running out of time because we always have too much content.
I know.
I wanted to do Tina's taboo before we wrap up the show.
Let's do this.
We've got about 4 or 5 minutes left.
All right. It's a whole big page here. I don't know if we're going to get through it.
No, we'll have a whole segment on Judy Blume too. Talk too much about Beyonce.
All right. Well, here's Tina's taboo.
Okay.
And I thought I was going to have kicky intro music.
Oh, I forgot. Tina's taboo.
Thanks. So today the taboo is bitch.
That's a good one.
I thought you might have guessed this.
No, I didn't,
so
actually.
It is one of the most frequently used curse words in English.
Mm.
It's from the old English word, I'm probably going to pronounce this wrong, biche?
Okay.
I don't biche. Know. I can't say things in old English.
Okay.
Which probably derived from Old Norse, byuna, which is female of the dog, also mm-hmm. wolf, fox, and other beasts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's as a term of contempt applied to women. It dates from about 1400. And suggests a high sexual desire in a woman.
Mm, oh, okay.
Yeah. And so from the Dictionary of the Vulgar Tongue, published in 1785, bitch is defined as the most offensive appellation that can be given to an English woman, even more provoking than that of whore.
Oh.
Interesting, right?
I would say as far as it provoking you, it depends who says it to you and how they mean it.
Absolutely. So I do this myself.
Yeah.
You know, I can get really excited about something and be like, yes, bitch, yes.
Yes.
Good job.
Yes, bitch.
But then, you know, I could turn around and be like oh, she's a bitch. Yeah, exactly.
Or like, oh, this book is such or a bitch. Or like, this project through. Is such a bitch, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it can kind of be applied to many things. You know, have we taken bitch back?
I think some women have definitely taken it back.
Yeah.
But I don't think we're quite there yet.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah. It really depends on the person. Like, if someone that you love and care about says you're being a bitch and they mean it like they don't like how you're acting.
Yeah.
That is like the worst insult.
Yeah. Like, there's a definite. Yeah. There's a definite, you know, oh, that woman is being a bitch. That means she's being whiny. She's being argumentative. She's being overly defensive about something.
Well, and then there's the sort of sexist use, like when a man says like another man is being like a whiny little bitch,
right?
Or like being a bitch, they like, it's like the ultimate insult to their manhood.
Yeah, exactly. Which
sucks and ridiculous. But I hear that a lot.
Yes. No. Yeah, I definitely hear that as well. Interesting factoid.
Yes.
Ernest Hemingway used the term bitch frequently in his writing. It actually expanded the meaning to its modern definition, representing favorable qualities such as ferocity, edginess, and grit.
Oh, ferocity.
As applied to women.
Mm, edginess. Yeah, because I feel like there's some women who are like bitchy and proud of it.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Like take back the term and are like, I don't care if you think I'm a bitch, if that's, you know, what you term as like a powerful like woman who says what she thinks.
Absolutely.
Then,
do you remember Tina Fey and Amy Poehler?
Mm-hmm.
Bitches get stuff done.
That's right. They do.
Yeah.
They do.
Absolutely.
So I don't really think of it as a taboo word, but I can see that some women would be uncomfortable with it. So
yeah, I think it's could also partially be generational.
Yes.
Where, you know, if you were brought up to not have the positive reinforcement of your friends, you know, being like, oh, hey, bitch, you're bad bitch, badass bitch. Like, that's a thing.
Yeah.
Especially in hip hop culture.
Yeah.
Where a badass bitch is a desirable woman.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nicki
Minaj. Badass bitch.
I wish I had like a song that had bitch in the title, because there's so many, but I didn't. This is like what happens with Tina Sabu. It's a wild card. I can't like prepare for it.
No, you can't. You just gotta roll with it.
Coming up next is Revision Radio. I guess we're gonna wrap up because it's, I think, 8 o'clock on the nose. I'll play a song to just to end the show.
Perfect.
I'm gonna play Black Betty by Lead Belly, and that's it. That's Let Her Speak.
Cool.
Thanks for listening.
Have a good week.
Yeah, you too. Next week we're not here. The following week, let her see.
Oh, that's true.
I'm all Black Betty, bam bam Black Betty, Black Betty, bam bam Black Betty, Black Betty, bam bam jump study Black Betty, bam bam jump study Black Betty, bam bam all Black Betty, bam bam all Black Betty, bam bam looky on a Black Betty, bam bam looky on a Black Betty, bam bam turn around Black Betty, bam bam jump down Black Betty, bam bam all Black Betty, bam bam all Black Betty, bam a lamb, Black Betty had a baby, bam a lamb, Black Betty had a baby, bam a lamb, little thing went crazy, bam a lamb, little thing went crazy, bam a lamb, all Black Betty, bam a lamb, all Black Betty, bam a lamb, jump steady Black Betty, bam a lamb, jump steady Black Betty, bam a lamb, look at yonder Black Betty, bam a lamb, look at yonder Black Betty, bam a lamb, all Black Betty, bam a lamb, all Black Betty. Bam a lamb, little thing went blind. Bam a lamb, a little thing went blind. Bam a lamb, the city wasn't none of mine. Bam a lamb, the city wasn't none of mine. Bam a lamb, what about it, Black Betty? Bam a lamb.